Soundwave, episode 14. This week we are talking about all sorts of crap. PS3 motion controller. What do you think about that, guys?
Was it seriously, the first controller?
Sony, like, better when it was for the Wii.
The Wii 2.
The Wii S3.
Why is what I say.
Why?
No, I'm just saying, why? Why do it?
At this point, you're making it possible to play games on the damn thing.
Well, I would just like to point out, like, the invention of the analog controller, some of the first great, the first 3D games, GoldenEye, Mario 64, the invention of the platformer, and it's kind of like Sony, two steps behind Nintendo since 1996.
Yeah, well,
you know, I hear the next revision of the PSP is going to have the second touch screen on it.
That would be great. I might actually play my PSP. That's the big problem. There's nothing worth playing.
Yeah.
It's like God of War, Little Big Planet. Everything else is on everything else.
PS3, all cowboy hat, no cowboy.
Katie, are you gonna stand for that?
Not really. No. Bring it. I mean, bring right it. Now. Yeah. Well, I mean, the motion thing, it's the trendy thing. So, I mean, they have to compete. Natal's coming out as well, so
I was going
to
mention that.
PS3 all you want, but the Xbox is doing the same thing.
Natal is way, way, way better than just another motion controller ripoff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but the problem with Natal is, do you really want to play games that way? I think I want to change channels with my TV by doing that.
I think
that's it.
I don't know that I want to play games. As a UI, I think it could do a lot. A friend of mine works for Microsoft, and he was showing me some stuff from it.
You got to bring that up.
Yes, I do.
Selecting my Netflix movies would be awesome with it, but that's about it.
He was showing me some stuff like in combination with Natal and Surface, and it's you can do some wild stuff.
See, that's just it. What you guys are missing here is that we're going to do crap like that with it. My daughter is going to be waving her hand around and kicking our ass at every future video game for 30 years to come.
Well, yeah, there's one flaw that I've
because
noticed.
She's going to grow up with it, and none of us are ever going to be able to compete with the generation that's growing up with this technology in any future game. So get used to having your ass handed to you by a 14-year-old.
You have to use your hands. That's a baby's
toy. I do that every day.
There's one possible flaw I've noticed with this Sony motion controller. I don't see a wrist strap hanging off of it anywhere, nor a padded bumper jacket.
Oh, they're going to learn XV the hard way.
Yeah, a couple of lawsuit-wise, you're going to go the lawsuit route. I see a problem with it. It looks just like a freaking Wiimote.
I am. My big
and
problem
gee,
is...
didn't. Who was it who got sued? They had their pants suit off for their controller technology. Wasn't it Sony with the vibration thing?
Yeah,
gee, wow. Sony stealing game technology because they have
That was actually probably the reason for the delay of getting Rumble in the PS3 controller.
Because the
six axis originally didn't have the oscillators or whatever it is that makes it. Shaking it.
Yeah, little motors. It's like, oh, Rumble, that's like a last gen technology. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
On a note of like the lack of creativity. So, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I really don't care about Rumble and controllers.
I do in the sense like for racing games on like on a wheel and like that makes all the difference in the world. The tactile feedback.
I think it was the last time I enjoyed Rumble
when the Nintendo 64 started doing it.
Right. I said the last time I enjoyed Rumble in a controller was when we were playing Star Fox 64 for the first time. It came with the Rumble Pack, and a friend of mine blew up a base, and he dropped the controller and put his hands up in victory, and didn't realize for a few seconds that it was rumbling in his groin. That was the last time I really enjoyed a Rumble controller. I've heard bad
stories of girls doing things with PS.
Okay, so let's go.
Wow.
Big note here.
And there's one who started talking about crotches. It's his fault.
So, Crisis on Two Earths. There's a clip about it.
What are you going to say
about crotches in that movie?
I got a big point to make here about the Sony controller. Hang on. That controller has remained the same old 90s piece of crap for 10 years. It's been outdated forever. people only liked it because they were used to it because they'd had them for two systems long. They slapped the analogs on the bottom of it when Nintendo outclassed them last time. And at least this time they have to make a new controller to imitate Nintendo. But those little analogs have been misplaced for like 10 years because of this same kind of shenanigan, copying Nintendo's controller.
I still dig the Microsoft Xbox Type S controller. I love that controller. I think I always will.
That was a good controller.
Good controller.
I didn't mind the big ones even after you got used to them. You know what was a weird thing? The old Sega
Dreamcast?
Yeah, the Dreamcast controllers. The first time you picked those up, they felt totally awkward. But if you, after you played with it for a while, it was a really natural.
I like the Dreamcast controller. Well, I like the Nintendo 64 controller, too.
What about GameCube?
I could take or leave that. I like the
Nintendo games.
GameCube. Yeah, games that Nintendo designed, it was fantastic. Everything else, crap.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's why they keep sticking with the same controller for PlayStation, because that controller works for everything. No. And that's the only reason they go with it.
It works, but not great for anything, I don't think.
It's like, say, for example, if it's a shooter, it's going to be crap with it. But if it's like a fighting game, if it's like anything
else. Yeah, it's crap for a fighting game, Chris.
Yeah, but what?
No, well, you can't say that because think of the Xbox 360. That's even worse.
Ender?
What?
I'm sorry. Those analogs were in the wrong place. They got shunted on there when analog came out because Sony suddenly realized that's what you really needed to control a 3D game. But they didn't replace their D-pad with it. They just kind of shunked them on the bottom there. And that wasn't where they needed to be. So for like, you know, 7 years of useful time, those things have been in the wrong place. That's what Xbox did so right with their controller was go, yeah, you still need a D-pad sometimes, but why don't we make the D-pad the secondary left thumb directional button and make your analog, which you're going to be using 90% of the time for our games, the primary position directional control.
I think it was easier for Microsoft to do that with their controller because they were not mired down in the tradition of controller design. It was their first go at it.
On a console.
They should have reconfigured it by the PS2. When the PS2 came out that day, that analog should have been in the right place.
There needs to be a 6-button pad, but that for fighting games. But I know what Chris is thinking. But I think for the fighting games out there, you really need to buy a pad.
You need an arcade stick, definitely. But if you're playing something like a Street Fighter, you're not going to want to play it on the Xbox 360 controller. You're not going to want to play it on the PS3 controller. But if you don't want to spend like $100 or something for an arcade stick, you'd much rather play it on your PS3 than your Xbox 360.
Yeah, but don't you feel like, I mean, like for 10 years, hasn't every Sony game been semi-crippled by the need to like accommodate the fact that you might want to play a 2D fighting game?
Well, it's not so much that also. It's basically, I mean, look at the controller that they were going with first for the PS3, that god-awful boomerang controller. They tried to do something different, and they got this huge backlash where people were like, "God, that's ugly. I'm not gonna buy this." You know,
they made a bad. It's not that change is bad. It's that change is bad.
That change was awful.
Well,
crap is crap.
Okay.
Can't get around that.
Speaking of crap, Crisis on Two Earths. No, I'm not saying it's crap. But what do you guys think? We all watched it. The clip. We'll have a link in the show notes. What do you think?
What is it about?
It's a crime. It's a crisis.
Is it? I didn't get that.
It's an alternate universe thing.
Yeah.
Well, there were these guys over here, and they were fighting these other guys over there. I don't know why, but it looked kind of cool.
Yeah, it's got James Woods.
James Woods is Owlman.
Right. That's my big selling point. Chris, I'm all there for it.
Chris, you have to love that.
I do love Owlman.
Yeah. Owlman, not Our Man.
Owlman. Oh, I thought you said Our Man.
It's not JSA. It's not JSA.
If Our Man was in it, that would be awesome.
It's not a JSA cartoon, but I would love that.
See, I didn't see Owlman in the clip I was watching.
Okay. Speaking of Our Man, did you watch Batman Brave and the Bold?
Oh, God. No, I missed it.
JSA. Our Man, it had Black Canary. It was what I watched was pretty awesome. Yeah, Chris, you need to watch it.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
So, yeah, but
Owlman teams up with Skeletor to
pop. But my problem with this, just like most everything else, DCAU that's not Bruce Timm,
Well, Bruce Timm is executive producing, though.
He is producing.
He didn't. Yeah. Oh well. Never mind then.
Yeah, will be giving Bruce Timm money.
Kevin Conroy is not Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's always a failure.
That's a failure.
Yeah. Yep.
They can't do it all the time, but I wish they would.
No. Yes. Yes, they can. Actually,
they should.
And say yeah. Yes.
They
yes.
need to.
Can always be
and
that.
Tim Daly is a great Superman too.
So. He's too busy making Arkham Asylum 2.
Oh God. Okay. Corollary Avengers animated movie clip. There's a.
It's not Superhero Squad.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. It's but it has Kang, and Kang.
Yeah. Sense.
But think about how much more awesome Kang would be in Superhero Squad.
True.
Yeah.
But
if he would be anything like his. Twisted Mega Theater version, then yes, it would be awesome.
What I loved about the clip is that the announcement that aliens were invading, it was done by Jarvis.
Awesome.
It seems that we have a hostile intruder, and they also seem to be from the future, sir.
Yeah, that was good.
Awesome. Okay, we talked.
I'm looking forward to that movie, but Kang is not going to be a big selling point for me.
I love Kang. No. Kang, as a Marvel nerd, I love Kang.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He is awesome. Makes me want to reread Avengers Forever.
He's like one of the only good Avengers villains, because the Avengers villains suck pretty bad, too.
Wait, so you're suggesting that there is such a thing as a good Avengers villain?
Ultron. Yes, his name's Kane.
His name's Ultron. There's Kane, Ultron.
So Ultron's all right. I'll grant you, Ultron's all right. I guess, you know, I think I've just never seen Kane.
Ultron was in the clip. Hank Pym was booking him.
I thought that was...
Oh, yep. And Baron Zemo is awesome. Read Thunderbolt. It's fantastic.
Don't they have Hank Pym building Ultron in almost every Marvel animation that involves him now?
Do they?
It seems
that
like
young
it.
Avengers thing was inexplicably built by Tony Stark. Random genius build android, whatever.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, same. You know.
Same.
Could have been Doctor Doom for all we care.
Yeah. Let's see here. We've talked Spider-Man to death, but the director was named. It's the web dude who did 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I kind of want to see that movie now.
I'm excited. I guess you guys have talked it to death. I haven't talked it to death.
Go ahead.
No. I'm excited about the reboot.
Thank you.
But I will say that while the second movie I think was great, I think the only reason it was great was because what's his name?
Dr. Octopus.
Does anyone remember his name?
Alfred Molina.
Yeah,
Alfred Molina.
He's brilliant. Yes.
Actor. Stood up on his big mechanical arms and held that movie up all by himself. And it was fantastic for it. Well, the special effects team that supported him made him like the best Doc Ock I could imagine. I think that's the best Spider-Man villain.
I make the point that prior to Heath Ledger's Joker, he was probably the best comic book villain put on film.
Yeah. I mean, just between the effects, the musical support, and just how he appeared, it was like, oh my God, that's Dr. Octopus, and it's real. That's how that felt. But that's just the thing about this first Spider-Man series, is I felt like the first movie had almost no plot at all besides the origin story, and it would have been just as good no matter what was going on in it. It was just like, wow, it's Spider-Man, and he's real, and that's all that movie had going. There was no plot there, you know, except like the Green Goblin doesn't like Spider-Man.
And Willem Dafoe was awesome. That was one thing going for it.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe is what sold me on that movie, because that movie could have been a total nightmare. But, I mean, he had that horribly designed costume, and how do you work around that? Well, you get Willem Dafoe, and you get him to talk into a mirror. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
No, that was great. Well, I will pick no bones with Willem Dafoe. He was great, but he didn't hold that movie up the way Alfred Molina held up the second one.
Very true.
Though he did do a great job. And the third movie, I presume I don't really need to explain what the problem was there. I mean,
there were lots of problems.
Where to start? Yeah.
So I gotta say, in terms, and I never ever liked Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. His Parker was okay. His Spider-Man was whiny and banterless.
Yeah, I just don't really like.
He was
Tobey
okay
Maguire
in
the first place.
Yeah, I never understood why they picked him. His voice just didn't play, especially in a character when, you know, put the mask over him and all he has is his voice. And all of a sudden, we're like, "I'm gonna come get you Goblin. It was like
that is exactly it. You
know? Yeah.
The only time I ever felt like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was in the video game they did of it, because they had a ton of banter in there. And that made it feel a little better. My favorite line being Goblin saying, "Can you not see that we are brothers?" And him saying, "Yeah, well, I'm telling Mom." Awesome. That was like the highlight of that whole game. So, aren't they talking about he actually played Cobra Commander? What's his name?
Yeah, they're talking about. Well, that was in 500 Days of Summer. I can't remember his name right now.
It's something kind of funny. Anyway, I could totally see that guy being Spider-Man a lot easier than Tony.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes.
Yeah, he did a fantastic Cobra Commander, by the way.
Yeah, that
was a joke.
It's not really what you would expect when you start watching him on Third Rock from the Sun.
No.
He did a pretty good Cobra Commander when he was doing Cobra Commander, but then they like augmented his voice and he wasn't Cobra Commander anymore. All of a sudden he sounded like, I don't know, Unicron. I don't know what they were going for there. It was like Dr. Claw took over Cobra. But
I try not to think about that movie very often. So
pretend it didn't happen.
He ended up sounding like Destro.
We need to do that commentary sometime.
Yeah, we need to finish that commentary. We started it and just
then we did time before the sequel.
I'd like to come to that commentary. I actually overall liked that movie, but it had big problems.
Big problems. We just saw that Joystick reported that the new Zelda game on the Wii may be a Majora's Mask sequel. So, Chris, that's good for you.
Yeah,
I'll take that as good news too.
Majora's Mask is fantastic.
It's a masterpiece, and nobody noticed.
Yeah, nobody played it.
So that means that it plays this. The sequel will be in the first timeline. That's based on Young Link in Ocarina of Time, isn't it?
Yeah, Majora's Mask is a direct sequel to Ocarina.
Well, no. Ocarina split off two timelines. One timeline that the newest game, Twilight Princess, takes place in, and the other that
don't try this, Brian. It's not going to work. You can't piece it together.
No, there is really no Zelda timeline. But Nintendo stated that there are two divergent timelines that the new games are based off of, and they both originated at Ocarina of Time. There's one that took place in the timeline from Old Link. Then there's a timeline based on Young Link, who went forward, and they diverged at that point. But otherwise, yeah, no Zelda timeline. I agree.
Yeah, Nintendo has a lot of strong points. In fact, I still think it's ILM style, the driving force of the video game industry. One of those strong points does not include continuity.
And they don't want it. They don't really care about continuity. I mean,
that's what's made them sort of a fun video game company, is versus like trying to have some kind of overall, you know, broader entertainment thing going on.
And the reason they stated that there's a continuity split there is so they can cater to both fans. The fans who prefer the, you know, quote unquote more realistic Link, like there's such a thing, and then the people who prefer the, you know, the whimsical fun Link from Wind Waker. So
Wind Waker is awesome.
Wind Waker is awesome. I just need to finish it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it comes down to Nintendo comes at it and goes like, okay, we're going to make the best game we can with the best game mechanics we can with the best single game story we can for who's going to buy it today. And if it doesn't happen to gel with what you bought 7 years ago, you can, you know, go take a flying whatever. That's Nintendo's philosophy about that.
Basically is. Let's see here, guys. Something else we've talked to death. Avatar, it's going to surpass Titanic this week, most likely.
Who cares? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, I don't.
It's only money.
Aren't you somewhat surprised by that, though?
Yes.
One overblown movie is about to overtake another overblown movie.
Wait, why would I be surprised about that? Because this film is the new age 3D film that people are paying extra money to go see. So, no, I'm not surprised by that, considering that people are paying way more as far as ticket price to go see this movie. I mean, this is really the first film.
I don't know. On face value, it looks way too fantastic, way too foreign for a mainstream audience of that size to embrace.
But this
I just want to see the nature movie where we feel compelled to save nature when it's not sexually attractive.
Well, this is the first film that is actually it sounds like, well, I mean, and from having seen it, it's the first film that is mainstream enough, meaning the story is
stupid.
It's dumb enough that the general public has an interest in seeing it. And it's the first film that is that and meant to be seen in the IMAX. That's meant to be seen in the IMAX 3D. And people are actually interested in going to see it in that format.
Maybe they'll go see some nature shows or something, or some science. You know,
right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what previously most of these 3D IMAX films have been.
Why would they want to go see that, Brian? That's real. They want special effects. They want something. Yeah.
Nature has its best special effects.
I want something created in a computer. I don't want something real.
Well, and to be honest, I even saw like the preview for whatever is the Hubble 3D, and even that looked really terrible just because of the odd camera angles.
Let's face it. If I want to see nature, I can go shovel snow.
Yeah, like I said last week, if I want to see real 3D, I can go outside.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we can make fun of it, and I love making fun of it because I don't think it was a very good film. But on the other hand, it is very accessible. And so you couple that with the increase in ticket price that people are paying to see it in 3D, that's why it's passing it up. No, you know, no mystery there.
Now, I haven't seen it yet, actually.
I'm not going to.
If I'm going to see it, I want to see it as it's meant to be seen. So I'm going to try and get to it. But is it better than Revenge of the Fallen?
Yes.
Find better.
No, come on, JD. Yes, it is.
The fact that it
has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it actually makes sense to some degree. Yes.
Chris, give me your face.
It's different.
Is it shorter than Revenge of the Fallen?
No.
No.
They're
about it's not better.
Yes. It's, I mean, they're different.
Which one is more likely to cause headaches?
It depends on, well...
It depends on how you work with 3D. I mean, do you have like motion sickness issues or anything like that?
I saw Revenge of the Fallen at IMAX when I saw it. But I think it should be shown to people as a punishment for shoplifting. So,
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's different. It's not, I wouldn't, I mean, it depends
on
how.
Is it that shallow and vapid that I'm just going to be like, oh my God.
Well, okay, if you think about like Hansel and Gretel and Breadcrumbs as far as a trail of a storyline, this is like large Italian loaves of bread that lead you along as far as the plot goes. It's sort of like, and this is the next milestone of the storyline, so it's going to lead directly to the next thing. So unless you're a complete flipping moron... You wouldn't, you know, you may not know that this is going to be important later.
It'd be like if Disney did Fern Gully in space.
Yeah, basically.
Fern Gully in space.
And I think I'm
Fern Gully 3 in space.
Okay, speaking of space, Star Trek Online comes out in a few weeks. Is anyone besides me actually wanting that?
You need to buy that, Brian.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, no, you need to.
I want it so bad. I think it looks great. I'm sure I would totally enjoy it. I'm not going
to. Way to go, Rob. Yeah, a lot of my friends are playing it right now, and they're enjoying it quite a bit. But
this is okay. I've played MMOs forever. I'm a huge. I mean, anybody that knows me, and as mentioned before, I mean, I play WoW now. I've played.
You're playing it right now.
Well, probably. Yeah. It's possible. I haven't played for a week because of my computer. But
yes, I just killed him, actually.
But here's the thing with MMOs. If the games that have come out that have been based around a property typically do not do well in the long run. For example, The Matrix Online.
Conan. I forgot they made that.
Exactly.
I blocked it out.
This game is very similar to a game that's already out called EVE Online. So I don't know that it's going to make it as far as the general MMO public goes. I think it'll be one of those things that like people that don't play MMOs will pick up play for a few weeks, say, I don't want to keep this subscription, and then it will go the way of the dodo, which is what happens to most of these games.
I think there's a lot of Star Trek nerds that are going to play it, so I think that it'll get that. It'll get the Star Trek people.
You know what bothers me?
There's got to be a lot of starving Star Trek nerds out there who haven't had any.
Oh, yeah. The reason I want to play it is it takes place in a post-next-gen timeline. So, 30 years after Nemesis. But the problem with that is it takes place in a universe that takes into account Star Trek 11, meaning that Romulus was destroyed, Nero and Spock disappeared, quote unquote, and it takes place in that sort of universe. And I would rather, you know, there actually be a Romulus, you know, Romulan Star Empire in the Beta Quadrant. I want that.
Yeah.
So, no.
You also hate the movie.
I enjoyed the new movie, but I didn't enjoy its plot elements. I think it succeeded on the basis of a great cast and a great director overcoming its terrible script. And Star Trek wise, much like Transformers wise, I prefer to live in an Ortsy and Kurtzman free universe.
Yes.
I think they're just like the worst writers who ever touched a keyboard. I think they should be forbade from it.
Let's see here. I think this is interesting. Microsoft is in talks with Apple to make Bing the default search engine on... Wow, what's that? Is that a xylophone?
Yes. No, that's a child piano.
Sounds an awful like a xylophone.
I'll go deal with that.
But Microsoft's in talks with Apple to make make Bing the default search engine for the iPhone. I just think that's interesting.
It's really bizarre.
It is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
My better half has dealt with that for me.
How is Bing anyway? Has anybody used Bing?
Yeah, I've used Bing. Bing's good. I mean, it's better than Live Search. They're really shooting for Google. I mean, they're really ramping up like Bing Maps and everything. Bing is never going to overtake Google. It's just a matter that Google is so entrenched in everything we do. But
is that really a scale? Bing is better than Live Search? Is that supposed to be like a
big deal?
Like a valid rating system? Is that like saying it's better than being kicked in the nuts?
Live Search is functional. I mean, Live Search was like a notch below Yahoo. It's better than using Dogpile or something like that.
God,
it's like what's your search engine? What's your default search engine? Ask. You know, I mean,
web crawler is great.
But I thought that was pretty cool. Cartoon Network cancels all Cartoon Network real programming and goes back to cartoons.
Yay!
Oh,
yeah. People rejoice. Whoops.
Yay.
There's unfortunately, a it's been 10.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. You know, I really missed, like, Dexter's Laboratory and stuff like that. I've been really too keen on most of the new properties on Cartoon Network, except for, of course, animated, so.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Flapjack and Chowder are pretty good, but that's about all I've watched. Oh, Brave and the Bold, that's right.
That is true.
There you go.
Superhero Squad.
Yeah, mostly, I just feel like Cartoon Network's motto should be mind-numbing crap.
It can't be.
You don't swear up, right?
Mind-numbing crap. I really liked animated, but it was a big exception for me.
Hey, so email pr@cartoonnetwork.com. You can make that suggestion. I'm certain they would like that.
That was the original Adult Swim motto, actually.
Or maybe Flash. It sucks.
Yeah, most American cartoons are made in Flash these days. I mean, it's better than sending it over to Korea. It's quicker.
Well, sometimes it's done in Flash in Korea.
Maybe. Walking Dead pilot was approved by AMC. That's pretty cool.
Flash, when slave wages just aren't low enough.
Yes. So what do we know about the Walking Dead pilot?
Nothing really. We just know that they approved the pilot to go through. That if they want to go through with it, it's one of two shows, that and something else that's got a pilot approved. And if AMC likes it, we could the series could start as early as 2011.
My dorkiness is failing me here. I don't even know what this is.
It's a Robert Kirkman comic. It's Image. It's basically like what happens at the end of a zombie movie. You know, life must go on.
Yeah, what if a zombie movie never ends? That's basically the idea.
Yeah, so
I've reached a point where zombie is just synonymous with crap.
So I can't stand any more zombie. Zombie version of that
ABC caveman cart or sitcom. I mean,
yeah, no, this, exactly. This isn't really like in defense of it, but Walking Dead is what really caused like the big stir of zombie stuff in comics. Before Walking Dead, nobody cared about zombies, and Walking Dead made zombies cool. So,
yeah, unfortunately, I still don't care about zombies.
Yeah,
who cares about zombies here, really, guys? Let's have a quick
break. I like Walking Dead, but everything like else is zombie. Everything else is crap.
Well, Left 4 Dead's a good game.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead's a good game, and you know I can always go back to Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
I used to enjoy Resident Evil. I was all about playing Resident Evil, but
it's not zombies anymore. They are biological monsters now.
No, whatever the heck they were. You know, it had more to do with gameplay, and I haven't played the more recent ones because I think so. Partially, the bad play control was an element of my fear, but. I every time somebody's like, it's a zombie, somebody's like, yeah, sorry, you lost me at zombie. Huh. I'm going home at zombie. It's just so, honestly, it comes down to like, wow, that's so completely aesthetically unpleasing. You've just guaranteed me hours of things I don't want to look at.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Zombieland. Zombieland was awesome.
Zombieland was fantastic.
Zombieland was fantastic.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Zombies aren't dead yet. They're just dead if they're superheroes.
Yeah, like. Blackest night. Kill it.
Yeah.
Kill it, DC.
Speaking of which.
Just kill it.
Okay, guys. Do we have anything else this week? We've hit our 30 minutes.
Did anyone ever... I'm gonna stand up for my fellow dorks who are into Doctor Who. Did anyone talk about the passing of the recent Doctor?
No, we haven't talked to it.
We will finish up... The wife and I will finish that up this weekend. So if we want, we could have a whole semi-discussion next week.
If you guys want to do a whole show on it, go ahead.
Thanks.
I already have volunteers who want to come on and do a Doctor Who show. So I will gladly sit back and just set that one out.
Okay, I'd be willing to do a Doctor Who show. I know my
Doctor. Yeah, we may do that. Amanda would do that too. So yeah.
Yeah, JD, you can lead that one. I'll let you lead that one. And
hey, okay, fair enough.
I have two people here who are dying to do a Doctor Who show. So
well, I'd like to bump them in line if that's okay.
No. You can all
fit.
Yeah. Okay. So next week, Doctor Who.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll work that out. Okay, guys. Anything else?
Wait.
Yeah. Yes.
We promised on the Transformers.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So in the Game & Watch line, there are these amazing little, they look like arcade cabinets. They sit on a desktop. They just have they don't have the bottom. It's just like the top of an arcade cabinet.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Okay. The deal is they're like, you know, LCD, but they're in color. And it's a really complicated method by which they are in color that makes them so cool. Now, the one I had when I was a kid was a Popeye one, which I have reacquired in later years. And I've since found a Donkey Kong one. I think there's a Mario Brothers and there's one other. Scaleface, if you're listening out there, I'm sure you can tell me what it is.
I don't think Scaleface listens to this show.
Okay, well, he should because I just called him out, so now he has to start.
He's called out on every show now.
Yeah, no,
he's our mascot.
He's been correcting me for too long for me not to call out. Anyway, the way these things worked, and I couldn't figure this out when I was a kid, but since I got them when I was an adult, I figured this out. What the deal is in the top of the unit. Is actually where the game is played. And in there, it's a reverse screen of like, you know how the Tiger games would work? Where you'd have, you know, they'd have a full screen full of what the animations could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that you were seeing were the ones that were darkened, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the reverse. Everything else is darkened. The ones that are not are the ones that are the game.
Okay.
And so... the light shines through the top of the unit through a light filter, and the light filter has the correct colors for each of those things as they come through. So, like, the spinach has, like, a little part of it is green. So if you pulled it off, you would have, like – it actually reminds me of what was it? It was a video game system that you put little light filter screens on. It had its own screen. Anyway, it's
it wasn't the GameCom, was it?
No, it wasn't the GameCom. I actually have one of the things. I'm having trouble remembering its name right now. Cool. Anyway, it but the so it's the reverse. So the light comes through and everything else is blocked. So
the liquid crystal blocks the light is what
right. The liquid crystal blocks the light that's coming through the top of the unit. It comes through the light filter and hits a mirror, which is reflected back onto the screen you're looking at. So what you get is the colored version of what the light that's coming through the top of the thing. So if you put your hand over the top of the unit, you can't see the game anymore.
Sounds and like an original Game Boy Advance.
Very similar in that way. No, but it was really an amazing thing at the time. I mean, as a kid, it was just like, how did you even get color into this thing? It was a really wild thing, but they're nifty little feats of engineering. They don't go cheap, but it is a little interesting footnote in gaming history. And it's a real original Nintendo thing. Before Nintendo made home video games, these were the first Nintendo home video games.
I've played one of those.
I particularly recommend that Popeye game. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm certain it's more fun than Popeye on the NES.
It is.
I've got two copies of that, and one of them's in box, but I just don't play it.
And it's best there, really.
Yeah, it really is. Of all the original NES games, my favorite is probably still Donkey Kong Jr. or Super Mario Brothers, and the rest.
You can get Donkey Kong as one of these games. I have. It's really wild when you see how the thing works. It's a really interesting thing. You got to give them credit for it. For the time, it was a really nothing looked like that. There was no handheld color. There was no such thing. Even Game Boy didn't have it. I
mean, you know, I've always wanted to do like a segment or something on like gaming technology. I really basically just wanted to do like a segment on like my MAME cabinet.
And, there you go.
Yeah, and I'd do that with actually. You know, let me throw this out at you. Is this not the measurement of gaming technology? The Battle of Hoth. You can get the Battle of Hoth in pretty much every phase of gaming tech.
Back to the 2600.
Vector graphics. You can get, I think the first one was actually an Empire Strikes Back game, the Battle of Hoth, and then Empire Strikes Back was the first Star Wars game.
Really?
Yes. It's the first thing you could do in Star Wars was the Battle of Hoth. It was actually later that they did the vector graphics Death Star run, and later the vector graphics Battle of Hoth. You can get Battle of Hoth on a Game Boy. You can get the Battle of Hoth on the Super Nintendo. You can get 10 versions of the Battle of Hoth on anything since.
Do they have the Battle of Hoth in the text adventure format?
In what?
You know, the text RPG format? Adventure.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't found that one, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's on the NES, on the Game Boy, it's on the Atari, it's in vector graphics, it's in the arcades. It's ridiculous.
I love the Sega Star Wars trilogy game. It's great.
Yeah. I love that one, too. I'm a big fan of that one.
Cool.
But yeah. I think you could do a whole show on that, on how they portrayed this one cinematic event. And it's just been redone every time. N64, Xbox, and a few others on the Battlefront games. It's everywhere.
I've never really thought about it. Lego. Yeah, the Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, Lego Star Wars. I mean, you could just measure everything out by it. Every advance in gaming technology comes with a new version of the Battle of Hoth.
And a new version of Dr. Mario.
The Super Nintendo version I've always thought was particularly innovative because of how cool it is for how limited that system was.
You know, they did not do the Battle of Hoth in Mode 7, correct?
No, they did.
They did?
It's well, that was amazing. The Super Nintendo.
Well, I mean, it's not amazing. the whole game
Battle
is not
on the Super Nintendo. Like, it's something they shouldn't have been able to do. That's why the Super Nintendo and the PS1, I think, are the two greatest systems of all time because of how dynamic they really turned out to be. You could do things on them you wouldn't have thought you could do.
I love the Super Nintendo. It's one of my all-time favorite consoles. I mean, it's a great system.
I think it'd rank right after those two. I'd rank the Intellivision. Anybody playing Intellivision?
Not recently.
If you play like B-17 Bomber, you start to realize that system had the power of a Super Nintendo, and the developers just had no idea what to do with it.
I did play some Missile Command the other day. I thought it was awesome.
Missile Command's always awesome.
Yeah. It's all about Ninja Golf. Yeah.
Anybody play Frolf?
No.
Oh my god, you play golf with frogs and hammers? It's great.
I've played Custer's Revenge.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Hey guys, anything else before we wrap the show up?
We have a new show, comic book show.
Oh, we do have a new comic book show coming up. We don't have a name for it. Oh, what do we decide on? Ender said Age of a Crapalypse. I think that's pretty good.
Gee, that doesn't sound like something I'd say.
Yeah, we may go with that. I like the Styrofoam Lightning, though. That was pretty good. But that would be more for like a LARP show, which we're never, ever going to do.
That's a LARP.
No, we're not.
That would have to be JD's baby.
I'd come on that show just like, wow, these are the only people on Earth dorkier than me.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we'll see you next week then.
Good night.
Night, guys. Peace.
Seen a one-trick pony in the field so happy and free. If you've ever seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-legged dog making his way down the street? If you've ever seen a one-legged dog, then you've seen me.